Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. We have an exciting guest today. She has done something that most don't. She's a rare, and she's going to discuss, you know, what her journey to success, you know, how she cultivated her mindset, how she's grown and expanded. And her name is Hannah Hermanson, and she is the CEO of Done For You and Funnels. I mean,
Happy Writing and Funnels.
That's it. And she's going to discuss her exciting journey. But before we dive deep, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for leggings, 100% natural facial masks, natural bath soaps, natural deodorants, natural essential oils, aromatherapy diffusers, sage, palo santo, crystals, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Use code PODCAST25 for 25% off all leggings, free shipping on all items in the USA. Welcome, Hannah. Yes. I was actually on Hannah's podcast, Dream Life is Real Life, which was an excellent podcast. I recommend everyone check it out. And so, Hannah, like, discuss your journey, like, what led you to venture off and develop your own company?
Yeah, you know, you said something there.
Really young, so, like, you look like you're like 16. Yeah.
I feel that way some days. It's also a Friday, so I'm in my casual Friday face over here. But let's go there. Let's talk about, you know, what it was like when I was 16, because I wasn't exactly that person you would think went and did something that no one else had ever done. Growing up, I always followed the safe path. I was kind of a goody two shoes, but I also just did well in the traditional frameworks of going to school, getting good grades, following the rules, applying to college, going to a good college, doing my work. I just was very much on that, like, oh, this is how you do life. And I even graduated college and then got a job working as an academic advisor. Again, just like follow the four-year plan. And so I was doing that work. And in my early 20s, I was all, you know, put together. I was successful by what most people around me would consider success. I had a cubicle that was all my own. I had a Toyota Corolla. I had a 401k. I was packing my own lunch in the break room and just like doing the right thing with my life, right? Except for it felt like there was this sleeping giant inside of me. And the longer I showed up to that 9 to 5, and I started looking around at the people around me who did that for 30 years, it felt crushing inside. I didn't see myself just continuing to do this, right? You get to a point in your life and you're like, is that all there is? Because I felt like there was a whole lot more. And through some of my own like healing journey and travel and all these experiences I was trying to collect to like feel more, get more out of life, I became really into yoga. It was something that I would play hooky from my day job and go to yoga. I would wear my leggings under my dress. Like you know, people listening, you get it. I wear my leggings under my dress, go to class. I would say I'm like off campus meeting or dentist or like OBGYN. So no one would ask me about where I was. It was yoga every week. and then I started asking myself about these people in this yoga class, like Wednesday, 10 a.m. They're not all skipping their job. They're doing life differently than I am. So I started talking to these other folks in my yoga class, and some of them were in graduate school or some of them were stay-at-home moms. So they had flexible schedules. But there was also this really cool group of entrepreneurs. I still don't even know how to spell that word without spell check. I had no idea what that meant, really. Like the only business owners I knew, they like owned a restaurant in my small town. And so when I started to realize like these people are like building companies and teaching yoga the intrigue just really spiraled for me. And fast forward a year, I was offered a role within one of their startups, within one of their companies, to do wellness coaching and yoga teaching, which I had picked up along the way. And so I left my 9-to-5 job. I left my Toyota Corolla. I left everything I knew in small town Wisconsin. And I moved to California to live the dream, to experience something bigger. And I really credit naivete. I was 24 at the time and I was just naive. And so I just walked in one day, I quit my job. I told my parents I'm moving. Everyone else thought that was insane, but like, I didn't even think about it. I was just naive enough to be like, that feels good. I have this gut feeling. I have this heart that I'm going to follow, which most people don't do. I just didn't. I just like, it felt right. And I did it. I took the leap. In hindsight, that was 6-7 years ago now. In hindsight, my dad has finally admitted that, you know, we worry a lot about you because it seems like you just take these leaps and you just jump and we don't always know where you're going to land. And that's true from the outside perspective. But what also is true is that I know that no decision is final. And this is one of those mindset things that's really helped me say yes when there's a lot of unknown, and knowing no decision is final. Okay, I'm going to make this decision to quit my 9-to-5 and say yes to this new job. But the life and world that we're living in, I'm going to have lots of jobs in my lifetime. So let me just say yes to this next opportunity. So I did that. And then I land in San Francisco for this job. And 5 weeks later, they say, Hannah, sorry, we can't afford you anymore. The board came back with numbers. We've been hiring too fast. So good luck in California. And here's another opportunity for me to either listen to my heart or sink back into my comfort zone. And something that I learned along the way is this visual representation of what happens when we try to move out of our comfort zone. We were kind of talking about this before the recording, right? Of like, we always have those opportunities to either like expand and push past fear or just sit back down and stay comfortable and stay happy with exactly where we're at. So here I was in San Francisco, no job, no plan, no money, nothing really, no friends. I was brand new here. And I had a decision to either keep following my heart or go back and tell my family, you were right. I am crazy. Look at me. I failed. I'm back here. Poor me. Okay. But in that moment, I remembered this visual representation of our comfort zone. And if we think about it, like where we are now, we're sitting in green grass and we're fine where we are, but we have a border protecting us. This is survival mechanism. Don't do anything scary. You might die. So we have this border. And then there's a border patrol. They're like dudes walking around, circling you. And every time you try to get up from your comfort zone and walk towards the border, they start saying things like, sit back down. You're too old. You're too young. You're not ready. This is never going to work. And it's really well-intentioned that we get all of this feedback, but all it is people trying to protect exactly where you are. So if you want to change, you got to do the Midwest nice thing. I'm sure Canadians can understand this, like smile and nod. Like we don't need to confront it. We don't need to beat up the border patrol and like go through every past trauma and like all of that. Sometimes we just need to say, thank you, fear, for giving me the sign that I'm moving forward. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you?
Yeah.
In moments of like, oh, I feel that imposter syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened? So you're in California, you decide to stay, I'm hearing. And
yes.
What happened to you?
And I hustled, to be honest. I decided I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I love this coaching thing. I have a taste of what it takes to build a business. And so I did the classic coach thing where I got certified and I did a bunch of free clients and I just like hustled. I was paying my bills by working at the gym part-time, teaching spin classes and things like that. But the rest of the day I spent building my coaching toolkit, which was great. But But it got to a point where I was doing these free things and wondering, how do people make money doing this? Like, where's the real business model here? And so I started to realize I needed to shift my focus from becoming like, you know, figuring out all the coaching stuff, but starting to get this out into the world. And I just, again, this naivete, this willingness to say, I don't know if this is right, but this is where I'm going to start, knowing there's going to be more decisions. There's going to be more steps in this process. It almost felt like I was birthing something. I don't have human children of my own, but the more that my friends have kids, I kind of like, oh, that's what it's like having a business, where the first few months are like intense and hard and you don't sleep and it can be super overwhelming because you've never done this before. But you know you're going to have that baby for 18, 20 years. And so that's how I thought about my business as well. This isn't like a, let me figure out how to get a client today. I was really thinking about, how do I treat this business to have it for a lifetime and to show up for it in a healthy way? So I started just putting out pieces of my story. I started sharing things that I was learning or things that I was hearing in these coaching sessions. And there was no marketing strategy, but me putting out content in a little Facebook group that I started in 2015 started to get me sales. And so I kept doing more of what got me sales. And I soon eventually learned like, oh, this is copywriting. People study this. This is like a marketing thing that I'm doing, but I didn't know it at the time. When people started asking me, okay, so we went through the same coaching program. How do you have a six-figure business and I don't have any person yet? I started to teach other coaches. Well, this is what I shared. This is how I talk to them. These are kind of the steps that people take. And I soon found myself being asked basically to do business coaching. And that's the really easy version of starting a business and scaling it. and then, you know, being in the entrepreneurial game now for 7 years, playing this game and continuing to share parts of my story and what I learn along the way.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. So you're Generation Z, right?
Millennial.
You're millennial.
I'm 30. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. You're millennial. Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, I don't know enough about Gen Z to be honest, but I'm like very much millennial. I feel like I'm like all the Instagram accounts targeted to millennials. I represent that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had two Gen Zs. I guess they're in their early 20s. I have to look up when the years, you're probably close to that generation. I need some coffee. So anyways, I'm hearing the same things from them as well. Like they don't want to do like the traditional 9-to-5. They want to have more experiences. They want more out of life in relation to experiences, because if you're doing the 9-to-5, like what's you're having the same experience over and over, and maybe you might meet someone new in a meeting or something, but essentially it's like the same, and you're in this rigid routine. And a lot of workplaces too are toxic, you know? So I feel like more workplaces need to be, they kind of like, if we're going to continue on this path too, especially with Generation Z coming up, where they're valuing healthy mindsets, they're valuing new experiences, they're valuing growth. So what I'm hearing is you wanted expansion, you wanted growth, you wanted new experiences, you wanted to just maybe feel more. What did you want to feel? You said that you felt like crushing, right? Yeah. Where you were. So what did you want to feel instead?
The doorway for me was travel. So I got a taste for that. I would use my breaks strategically because I did have sort of an academic calendar, even in my 9-to-5, where I could use winter break to go to places like Nepal and Kenya and Cambodia. And that recharged me and gave me so much positive energy for like being alive and enjoying the world and expanding my understanding of what exists and what's possible. I remember having the notepad on my desk always had a countdown of how many PTO days I had left. I was like constantly playing this game of like, how many days can I take off to like plan this trip or have this experience? And I felt so confined by having to ask for a day off or having to ask for flexibility, and that crushing feeling of just like, I'm sitting here watching the day pass out my window, and I just have to wait until Friday or wait until I have enough days off to like go and enjoy. It felt so backwards to me to watch these peers, these colleagues of mine, work for 30 years and then try to have a great retirement, and then they'll start golfing, and then they'll go to Florida and do all these things. And I was like, I don't want to wait 30 years to have these experiences. I have an able body right now. I feel like travel sounds a heck of a lot easier now than when I'm 60 or 70. And it really was that eagerness of wanting to live life now and not wait.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when after I graduated from university, I took this intense European trip across all European countries for like 2 months. And I just remember, you know, because in Europe, it's like, it's not like North America, like there's a lot of walking involved. I mean, you're in old cities, there's no way around it. Like you have to, there's like, it was like a lot of work, to tell you the truth. It wasn't like traveling around Europe. You know, I just remember like it was not, I mean, if I wanted to see stuff with my friends. So we were like constantly, and I just remember to myself, like, I can't imagine doing this in my 60s. Like,
yes, I know. the time you get like food poisoning and then you take a train overnight, like there's a short window of time that you put up with that to have the full experience of being countryside and in the world like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I mean, I thought, if I was going to like start traveling in my 60s, or yeah, I guess the average age of retirement is 65. I would be like, you know, you would just maybe just see a smidgen, because you're, I mean, there's no way I was going to do what I did, you know, in my, you know, my early 20s. Like, there was just like, no, I mean, I was jumping on ferries, I'm jumping on boats, I'm jumping on trains, I'm, you know, it was just like constant, like it was work, like to really fully experience Europe, like this constant movement. And I remember coming back and I was exhausted, like literally, and I got sick because I was exposed to all the different climates, constantly, you know, jumping from different country to country. So yeah, those are my thoughts exactly. So I totally on board with that. I that was in my thoughts exactly when, you know, jumping into becoming an entrepreneur was having more experiences, pushing myself, growing. For me, it was growth and freedom. So I'm hearing freedom from you and just to experience more, because that's how we grow. Like it's how
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I was really afraid of like just stagnating or getting stuck in one way of doing things before I had tested or experimented a little bit myself. And even so, when I was in that place of like, do I go back to where I was? I made a mistake, or do I move forward? I started developing a lot of those personal development, spiritual practices, like having a vision board and looking at where I want to go and setting goals, and that sort of future focus and eye on where I want to go, what trips I want to take, how much money is it going to take, how much time am I going to need to have some of those experiences. Having that plan and that vision in place, when I say plan, it's not like five-step plan, but that intention of like, this is where we're going, this is my plan for my next, you know, 5 years of what I want to experience. It was easier to go through some of that building the business and long days and short nights when you have that drive, that vision. And I think that's a big mindset piece for any risk taker, any growth that you want. It's like, what is it for? Where are you going? Where is it leading you?
Mm-hmm. And that's another important question is, you know, as any business owner knows, or any entrepreneur knows who've achieved success, especially in the beginning stages, it requires requires an enormous amount of work. You have to be consistent, and you're not going to just hit that success right away. It comes in these building blocks. So, and what kept you believing in that you will eventually get it, you know, in terms of constantly creating content, constantly hustling? I mean, did you ever feel like, what am I doing? Have I lost it? Should I just go back to Wisconsin, get a job again? And you know what I mean? Like, did you ever like have those thoughts? And
totally.
And what pushed you to have that belief and remain consistent in being productive to finally hit those thresholds?
Yeah, absolutely. I had those thoughts. A few years after starting my business, my then at the time boyfriend, we're now married, but my boyfriend and I decided to do the digital nomad thing, like live in our backpacks and travel. And we were bouncing around so much, like every 4 days, we were between Guatemala and Cuba and China and going all over the world. And that was the goal. That was the vision. And I got there and it was really hard. Like the time zone math alone, I don't know why I didn't think of that. Like, I'm going to take my business all around the world. Like, it was so exhausting. And I really questioned, like, what is this for? Because it felt like I wasn't enjoying the travel or the business, because I had anxiety that I was never fully present in either place. I was trying to like be traveling and run a business. And that really didn't work for me. And so, sure, I thought about moving back to Wisconsin, but after you do like Latin America, the weather, I was not really convinced I could ever really go back to the Midwest weather. We talked about how powerful sunshine is, right? So we did have a moment 9 months into our travel that we were like, we got to go back. And we did. We moved back to California. My husband went back to his teaching job. We got married. We settled down, if you will. And I reestablished some systems in my business. And I got more of a CEO mindset than I'm a worker bee. And I started to build a team and I started to get mentorship on scaling so that I wasn't in the day-to-day anxiety of things, that I started to work smarter. But I don't know how that would have unfolded if I didn't get honest and say, we need to go back. We need a home base. Let's go to California and reestablish ourselves and let the pieces reorganize themselves. Now, a year after we moved to California, the pandemic hit. And that gave us another opportunity to really look at, what is that next vision? What do we want? Like so many of us sitting at home, okay, is this what we want? Is this where we really want to be? And something that we took a lot of time to meditate and feel into was that we still did, we like swung the pendulum too far. Right? So like we were like doing way too much travel, and then we swung the pendulum way too far where we were just like the Johnsons working 9 to 5 and like having happy hour on the couch and then doing the same thing the next day. Like we got into that like rhythm, and that wasn't the right place on the pendulum, if you will. So in 2021, we moved to our favorite place that we had found traveling, Merida, Mexico. And we've been living here for a year and a half and using it as a home base to find that balance that I was craving of like, yes, I have consistency. It's 12:30 on a Friday. I'm showing up. I'm at my desk. I'm doing my thing. But we're going to rent a car this afternoon and go to the beach for a couple of days and have more of that work-life blend that doesn't feel like it's so anxious all the time. So I just want to give people permission. Like if you're in a place of your business where you're burnt out, like make that right next decision. Maybe you do take a part-time job, or maybe you move or do something to recalibrate your nervous system. And then you can always make that right next decision again, like we've talked about. So I've learned to not think of it as all or nothing. Like, this is hard. I have to move back to home with my parents. There's so much gray. There's so many little decisions in between that are available to you. And then you get to recalibrate the vision along the way.
Yeah. And it's definitely like building blocks. Like what you're describing is like, you're learning from every stage you go through. And okay, where can I tweak this? And where can I improve on this? Like, we learn from everything that we do and how to get better. And it's, I mean, it is work. I mean, you have to stay on the ball. You have to be consistent. You have to show up regularly, you know, and you have to remain in faith. I mean, when you're, it's a totally different mindset than just being a worker. And I think that's what people probably struggle with in the beginning, because, you know, I love talking about mindset on this show a lot, because I feel like it's really, really the foundation for everything else to build upon, you know, feeling more joy out of life, feeling more confidence, feeling more self-love, right? That leads to more of the good stuff in life, like healthy relationships and creating more success for yourself as a result of that. So when you're a worker, for example, your mindset is you're just focused on your immediate like craft, you know, whether you're a researcher, you just research and you write your reports and go in your meetings and articulate your findings and provide your conclusions. And let's say now you own a research company. Well, now you now you're responsible for everything. You have to like, okay, how do I get clients? Go do the marketing, the sales. Okay, now I have to manage, how do we recruit the best talent? You know what I mean? So it's like it's a completely different mindset. You have way more responsibilities and you're juggling multiple plates. Yeah, you can hire roles, people to do these functions, but you still always have to oversee everything. Like you can't just always just outsource everything and just, okay, everything is just going to be perfect because so-and-so, you know, you do have to look.
Yeah. I'm in that learning curve right now, right? And I think that willingness to be a learner, to say yes to growth, like all those things that you said, I think it's so important for it to not be sugar-coated, right? But for me, it's so worth it to go through the emotion and to experience myself every day feeling a little bit like, who the heck gave me the keys to this business? Like, I do not know what I'm doing. Like, I feel that every day, but it feels so much better than going to the cubicle and being like, do I have to keep the keys to this office? Like, why am I, you know, it's like just such a different challenge, right? And for me, I love the challenge of showing up for my goals and taking messy action and saying, okay, Border Patrol, like, thank you for telling me that this might be scary, but I know that I want to see what's on the other side. And of course, there's some days where you sit back down and you're like, all right, not today. But I'm totally in that learning curve because in 2020, we made a pivot from doing coaching people, the marketing and the sales and teaching them how to do it, to doing it for coaches. So in 2020, I became a copywriter for coaches' marketing efforts. And I did that for 2020. I filled my roster and I was a huge bottleneck of like, I can't write any more pages in a day. Like we can't grow. I can't grow from here. Like I kind of maxed out. And that's when the CEO mindset came in. That was about hiring a team and building systems and figuring out logistics, like getting out of just, I'm writing copy all day to now I'm running a business. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a different kind of challenge. Like I was feeling like I can't write anymore. Now I'm feeling like I can't look at another standard operating procedure for the day. You know, like we continued, but to me, I love that it's always evolving and that every day is different. And then I get to see my own growth happen so quickly because we're building this spaceship in the air this business thing is like, you know, evolving every day and having my hands on deck does feel good. But like you said, it's work, it's going to be there. But back to what we were saying at the beginning, I feel like this is a lifelong relationship and it's going to have different phases. And I want to show up to my business in this kind of like teenage phase of like, we have so many activities to get you to. And there's so many friends and people flying around the house because, you know, like I want to see where this goes and be here for the long haul. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing from you is, you know, I want to see what's on the other side. So I have a feeling of what fuels you, but I want to hear it from you. So what's fueling you to go through these challenges? What's your fuel?
I've gotten to the point where I really want to see who I can become. So we've achieved a lot of things. I have a team. I live in Mexico. I have a pool. Like for a while, I was just hustling because I really wanted a pool in my life. And like a lot of those material, silly, like little vision board things are taken care of. But I've gotten this taste for like the growth junkie. And I see how as my business goes to different levels, I go to different levels. Like, because I'm learning how to communicate with my team, I'm better communicating with my parents and my partner. And it's really fun to see myself start to lean into those goals. So I don't know if you're familiar with like Strengths Finder or some of the personality tests like Enneagram and Human Design, and all of my coaches and all of my results very much show that like I am a lifelong learner and I feel most fulfilled when I'm being stretched and I'm learning new things. And I've just embraced that instead of being like, why am I like this? When will I ever be happy? Like, what is the goal? I've decided that the goal is to continue seeing who I become.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I believe that was Diane von Fostenberg. That was her, you know, fuel was to become the woman she wanted to become. Like that was what fueled her with her fashion business empire. Mm-hmm.
Mindset side with that, if people are kind of wondering like, how do I like some kind of woo woo? I've developed a pretty good relationship with my 90-year-old self. And I spend time in meditation or in journaling, especially when I'm thinking about what's the right next decision. I think about that 90-year-old version of myself. And is she going to want to say, yeah, actually, you quit short of $1 million business. Actually, no, you didn't move to Mexico. Actually, no, you know, you just played it safe. Like my 90-year-old self is like, you had the most wild, amazing life. And that also helps guide me and have some comfort in those times where I feel like, why am I doing all this? Am I crazy? What is this for? Yeah.
I think everybody who gets into business in the beginning always, I mean, I've asked myself that too, because it's like, oh my God, this is not easy. Like you have to juggle so many, you have to be really good with dealing with people as well. And you have to really get good with, you know, building up your intuition and trust in your gut, because you know, business is such a minefield. Like, you know, there's so many, there's 1,000 ways to build your business. There's different ways to market. There's so many decisions to be made. And each decision, as we know, has consequences. That's why people get stuck in paralysis for fear of making the wrong decision. So there's a lot of stuff that it's definitely not comfortable. And it definitely involves you becoming stronger in your decision-making process, which, and also for sure, communication skills. You definitely have to be an excellent communicator when you're talking to anybody that you hire, so they know what they're doing, you know, so you have to, so they know their KPIs. And
what is it for you, Rita? What's your fuel? Like, you said you kind of had an idea of what mine was. I'm curious in your own, like, what is this all for? What do you come back to?
For me, I think there's many, many, for definitely, I think for me, like when I was in corporate, I just really was so sick. Like I loved working, like to tell you the truth, like when I was work, I came from marketing. So I like, if I didn't have to deal with a toxic workplace culture, I would have just loved to just perform marketing and just, I mean, I loved marketing and it, I would just, I loved work and I would just relish in work. But I also valued wellness and plus two, what you're, I think for me before I went into like, you know, chained myself up into a corporate job or whatever, I had a lot of travel experiences prior, you know, after university and even during university, I did I tried to experience, you know, as much as possible. I would take those, you know, internships out of state. I, you know, would jump on airplanes and whenever we had reading week, like I did, so I felt like, you know, I had a lot of experiences. So, I think that for me, definitely the wellness component, and I wanted to create a workplace environment where people were celebrated, for their talents, their genius, their, you know, and not have like this whole toxicity of like people like playing, you know, just, I came from, like, I experienced, unfortunately, like a lot of people playing, you know, mind games, there's betrayal, all these like just nonsensical things. And so I just wanted to create an environment where people felt safe and they were able to grow, because it's not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, right? And I, like I said, like when I would go into work, I got to do marketing and I was happy, happy, happy. So that's what I wanted. That was a part of the reason why I developed happybeingwell.com, was, I would say, for that purpose. And, you know, having personal development being a part of the culture as well, where, you know, people with personal development experts coming in and talking about the importance of healthy communication, healthy boundaries, you know, respecting each other, respecting yourself, like, so this way they can come home to their families and be like happy and not have all this negative energy that they're going to unleash onto their families. Cause I feel like, I think that's a part of why today in North America, everyone's just like talking about personal development so much. Now celebrities have podcasts talking about, you know, what they're learning in their therapy sessions, and, you know, they're learning that they're codependent because of blah, blah, blah happened in their child, you know? So I just feel like I want to play my role in providing a really positive and healthy workplace for people to just work, and they can grow and cultivate their skill sets and come home, you know, with a positive mindset and not, you know, bring that toxicity over to the home environment. So then we can foster, you know, children that are much more happier, and then are going to school happier, and it helps reduce bullies too. I mean, it's such a domino effect in our society.
Totally ripple. Yeah. That the big impact, right? If a few of us kind of stay on this path and blaze the trails and have enough people around us start to catch on, I think it's such a beautiful time and place that we are able to use tools like the internet and podcasts and our platforms to talk about things that matter, not just, you know, the good old sitcoms. It's all we used to watch. And now we're watching things like online courses and personal development, right?
Mm-hmm. And podcasts are extremely popular. Like, it's like we now have close to over 2 million podcasts. People are listening to podcasts while they're walking, while they're running, while they're driving, while they're at the gym. So, or even just at home, just chilling at home, right? So, I mean, people are learning from podcasts. We're having like real conversations like this. We're talking about our experiences. We're talking about our insights. We're talking about, you know, what fuels us to further grow and take that leap of faith to become entrepreneurs. So that's one component of why I decided to launch Happy Being Well. Another one was, you know, the whole mission of Happy Being Well is to empower women for self-care, so that they can foster self-love. And so I've had experiences where it took me a long time to get to that place. And it's so important for women to cultivate self-care activities, and so that they can, you know, really love themselves and have that self-worth and start building like real self-esteem. And it starts with really taking care of yourself. And I remember it took me a long time to really commit to taking care of myself. And I didn't even realize that it was a result of self-worth issues. I'm working on that. I believe I'm working on non-codependent anymore, but you know, for codependence, you get your validation through helping others, right? So, you know, you get a sense of like self-worth that way, and you know, and you abandon yourself, you abandon your needs for the needs of others. So anywho, so there's a lot of reasons. And also too, like, I was always a big, huge search for me to find natural products and leggings that were creative, that would express my personality through symbols. So, you know, I'm not a tattoo person, so I don't feel like I need to, you know, I'm not going to get teach their own. So I can wear, you know, symbols that represent what I value in leggings, and they're colorful leggings, bright leggings, just your solid color leggings. So I just wanted a place where I can find everything for me. Like, I pretty much was like building something for me that I value, to get all in one place as well, and provide more education around why we need to be using natural deodorants, why we need to be using 100% natural facial masks and stuff. We don't want chemicals going into our bloodstream and then leading to headaches and insomnia, and the buildup of toxicity can lead to those problems. So there's a few reasons why I took the leap and broke away from my comfort zone and went into the unknown. And that's my fuel for keeping on building and building and building. And so, yeah, that's my fuel. Yeah. So, all right. So we're talking about fuel. Who do you think you're going to become as a result of this journey that you're on?
Right now, I definitely feel I'm going to be someone who has a capacity to hold a lot of things at once. So that's really the goal, right? This wheel of life. And like I talked about, that pendulum, and there's always this like question for me is, how do I hold great relationships, a thriving business, and my own health like simultaneously? And I feel like that's really my learning opportunity right now, is how to be great in multiple places of my life at once without like forgetting to move my body because I was hunched over the computer so much, or, you know, remembering to call my parents because I'm not so like, you know, in my local community or busy with social events. So I think I'm going to become someone who has capacity to hold many things at once and be great at many things. But I also think I'm going to become someone who does experience life and feels the feels in a way that isn't like crippling or feels like imposter syndrome all of the time, but can move through life as an observer of how it unfolds. That's who we will.
I'm
like a recovering control, figure it out perfectionist. And I really feel like my opportunity will be to just like, how good can it get, and watch the unfolding instead of having to like try and control everything. Those feel like the pieces that could be radical for my capacity to step into who I'm going to be when I'm 90 and yeah, happy and living well and all those things that you talk about.
Absolutely. And I think your word for you would be curiosity. Sounds like your word.
Definitely. It works well in marketing too. That I talk about the energy of curiosity being so magnetic, and if we're not curious, then what are we? I guess. Yeah, that resonates.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're not curious, I don't know. We're just not expanding because we're not curious. All right. We're not curious to find out the what ifs. Right. So, all right, Hannah, that was awesome. I love the conversation today. And where can people find you if they want to learn more about you, work with you? Where can they go?
Yeah, I've got a podcast, Dream Life is Real Life. That is everywhere that you can listen to podcasts. And we talk about all things mindset, marketing, and Mexico travel vibes over there. And then if you are someone who's looking to get your message out there and be more clear with what it is you offer, if you have a business, as I mentioned, I started to learn how just like putting out some things, telling some stories, sharing some marketing is a powerful way to get momentum for your business. I've got a freebie. You can go grab 3 standout social media posts that will help you get sales online over at dreamlifeisreallife.com/freebie. But dreamlifeisreallife.com is where you can find all the things, the podcast and the resources that can help us continue the conversation.
Awesome. So wait, what's your website? I kind of missed it.
Dreamlifeisreallife.com.
Okay, guys. So check out dreamlifeisreallife.com. And do you have like a free consultation or any downloadable freebies for people?
Yeah, you can get the freebie at /freebie. We've got a shop that's open on the website if you go there. And then if you are interested in working with me, you can jump over to the services tab and let us know where your marketing is at and what you're looking for. All the things on the website. Yeah.
Awesome. If they go to the shop, what do you offer? Do you offer like training programs?
No, we have copywriting templates. So we give you the framework for how to write your website, homepage, services page, about page. We've also got social media templates that you can plug and play in your business.
Awesome. Awesome. That sounds excellent for someone who just wants to kind of get their feet wet and kind of understand the nuts and bolts around copywriting. And that sounds awesome. So anybody who is venturing off into copywriting and starting that marketing journey, check out Hannah's website, dreamlifeisreallife.com. All right, Hannah, thank you so much for pouring into the Happy Being Well audience and sharing your experiences with us and your intel. And everyone else, be happy being well, sending light and love to you all. Love you all. Until next time, remember, subscribe so you won't miss another episode of Happy Being Well, so you can be happy being well. Okay, bye, guys.